Thank you for joining me this morning. I would venture to say that wherever you, whatever capacity you serve in your church, that we could all agree that we have made mistakes. whether you are paid staff at your church, you are volunteer, whatever, if you serve in any sort of capacity, we all can agree that we've made mistakes in certain things. And so when I was thinking about kids choir, I was thinking about when I very first started leading kids choir, I didn't know the kids in our church very well. And I was just kind of assigning parts and solos and all the things. And I assigned this one little girl a solo. I was like, can you do this solo? And she said, yeah. And then when she started to sing it, I was like, oh, she can't do the solo. So I quickly learned that I needed to do things a little bit differently. So I've learned along the way. So, you know, we kind of change things as we go. My name is Allison Riggs, and my husband Joshua and I have been at Bethany Church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for almost 12 years. He is worship pastor there, and I'm currently serving as interim while we are searching for kids pastor. So that role has only come since January, but since we've been at Bethany, I have been serving in kids ministry in some capacity or another. When we first got there, we found, or just kind of learning what responsibilities were, what roles were, that sort of thing, we were told that they had a kids choir, and it kind of fell under the responsibilities of the worship pastor. And so they had done things a little bit differently. Kids would sing at Christmas with the adult choir, and then they would do a non-seasonal spring production, different sort of things like that. So he was kind of like, well, I don't know if I can just kind of take all of this on, you know, coming into a new church or whatever. And so I just volunteered to help. That's how it kind of starts, right? I was like, I'll just volunteer to, you know, help and kind of see how it works. Again, I didn't know anybody, any of the kids, you know, how things went, that sort of thing. So I kind of learned how they did things. And then the next time we were going to do a production, I was asked then just to kind of take it over. We needed someone just to take charge. There's a lot that goes into kids choir and what it takes to make it happen when you think of a production. So when I started leading it almost 12 years ago, it's been my job ever since, right? So this morning I want to share with you just some ways to help grow your kids ministry through kids choir. So my approach to kids choir has always been from a musical production, you know, having like a Christmas production, non-seasonal spring production versus you know, getting ready for state or national competition or just singing, you know, in your church. I mean, you could approach it any way you wanted. Mine, though, however, has always just been from a production standpoint. So my resources and that sort of thing will come from that being the basis of the content. So keeping in mind, though, whatever your approach is, you know, you can make it, you can cater it and work for your church. So there today, I'm going to talk about three main ideas. Number one, that every church can have a kids choir. So thinking about your church size, how many kids you have in your church, you can still make it work for you. You think about, you know, I only have 8 kids. That's not a choir, you know, but you can make it work. You can, there are many resources out there. We'll talk about that in a minute. Developing a plan, that's key. Having a plan from the very beginning and then starting small. So we'll kind of touch on each of those. So I know that, you know, for time's sake, but I do want to hear from you just for a minute. Where are you in this process? Do you currently have a kids choir? Is it something you want to start? Is it something you want to take home and hand off to someone else? Like, what is your, what are your goals for kids choir? I want to hear from you for a second.
Seasonal.
Okay. Like Christmas kind of thing?
I have one seasonal.
Okay.
It's dwindling.
Okay.
Don't know why.
Yeah.
But, so that's why I'm here.
Good. Are you in charge of it? Yes. I figured you were. Never, you're gonna hand it off to someone else. Okay, who else? Yes, sir.
We have we do like kind of like a pastor's palace thing every Sunday night.
Yeah.
So kids get up and sing, and we're wanting to do, you know, maybe like a seasonal drama and stuff.
Nice.
Like that.
Okay. Very good. I love that. Those are just like simple ways to get them used to being on stage. Like that's a big thing too, because some of them are like, no way, I don't want to get on stage. But like your thing that you do on Sunday nights just kind of exposes them to that. So that's a great thing. Anyone else?
Ours is not what you call an official choir.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Easter,
yes.
And she works with them on Wednesday as part of their Wednesday night program.
Okay.
So
yes.
Not an official choir.
Uh-huh. But when the time comes, it's like, let's get together to work on this, whatever we need.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Do you think your church would want to do like a production sort of thing, or is that?
I think it would hinge on if we had somebody who would officially take it over.
Right.
Like most pastors' wives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is what it takes. Definitely a lead person, lead volunteer or whatever, lead person, and then volunteer surroundings. So we'll talk about that too. Good. Anyone else before we move on?
We do. Our kids are on stage once a month. They lead a worship song or two in main service.
Okay.
And then we do a Christmas production, but we're trying to do that with a purpose, not just we're putting on a show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's a little bit challenging because some people just want to see their kids sing, whereas others want to have them sing for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're struggling with that part. We have very good volunteers. We have no talent. We have willingness, but we have no talent.
Yeah, I get it. There's some split tracks that really help with that.
Yeah, yes.
So we'll talk about that too. You know, I think when you have them up there too, like, and you have that, that help a little bit with the split track. It gives them a little more confidence too. So that's okay to do. Yeah, that's good. All right. So going back to our first point here, that every church can have a choir. So no matter the size, thank you for sharing your tips. It kind of helps me know where you are in this. And so using what you have, working with what you have, you know, that talent kind of develops sometimes over time, you know, when they're worked with over time, and you'll start to see different talents, the things that they can do. Maybe one's really good at the drama part, another one's really good at singing or whatever, you know, and you can kind of weave those together. Developing a plan. So this one is really important, I feel like, to kind of keep in mind, to getting your senior leadership on board. This should be like the very first step to make sure that your pastor is on board with what you're doing, you know? And so you think, well, it's kids ministry, whatever, but knowing that everyone that needs to know what's happening, that what your goals are, that you're not just going in on a Wednesday night and kind of getting the kids going on something, but knowing the pastor, knowing what's happening, so that then they can get behind you and promote and really support the efforts of Kids Choir. I think that's been one of the reasons ours has been really successful. Our leadership has been 100% behind me all the way, and I think that has been a key to our success. So I think that's really important. The next one, we were talking about volunteers, is getting volunteers on board and to help you, because this is not something, of course, that you can do alone. It's not something like, oh, I'll just take this on, this big project myself. There are many different capacities that our volunteers have to help. Kind of in the beginning, we'll talk more about this in a few minutes, but it's kind of like crowd control, you know, just keeping the kids, you know, in line. And then as you develop getting ready for the programming, it's more, you know, you're backstage helping this one costume change. You're over here, you know, cueing this one to get on stage. You know, there's so many moving pieces to it. So you have to know that you have your volunteers ready and on board for you. The next one is finding a musical that's right for you. I feel like this one is the hardest step. It's kind of like once I know what I'm going to do, then everything else sort of falls into place. So I'm going to give you a couple resources that I have found to help me a lot. But finding that musical that's right for you, I want to say too, I know that every church is different. in your musical styles, in your preferences, even what your pastor would be okay with. And I think that's really important to note, and even to make sure that they are okay with this, because kids' songs are just, you know, they're more fun. Anyway, so they can be a little more lively and upbeat and all of that. So keeping that in mind with what your church is okay with. But I have found an author that I absolutely love. So I have kind of explored different options for music authors kind of along the way. And one of those that I have found, her name is Christy Simpson. And once I found her, I haven't deviated from her. I really, really like her music. When I did the first musical, it was one that they had already, our church had already picked out, and kind of they were working on. It was from another author. It was fine. I don't even remember what it was, honestly. It was fine. But then at the time that I needed to start picking out music, so Joshua, being the worship pastor, would get sample music that helps from Word and from other publishers. I would just start listening to their kids' music as he would, you know, bring it home to me or whatever. And I stumbled across Christy Simpson, who at the time was with Word Music. She now has, she and her husband own their own publishing company, Simpson Music. So you can find all of their music, simpsonmusic.com. All of her kids' musicals. So I mentioned she was with Word at one time. All of that has been moved over to Simpson Music. You can still find it at Word, along with some other authors. You can find it there, but her music is all at Simpson Music. And then he does, you know, some other things. You can find things for, you mentioned teen choirs. I think there's some youth choir things on there, and then just church choir stuff on there as well. She also has preschool choir music. We started a preschool choir this last year as well. So she has music for them. I like her because she produces fun, fresh, relevant music and content. Her musicals are filled with scripture all the way through, whether it be through narration, the songs, and it just makes it a fun, fresh way for the kids to really get on board. I feel like your kids will really enjoy kids choir when the music is fun. That's what I listen to first, because I can kind of tweak dialogue sometimes if I'm like, well, that's dumb. You know, you can kind of like tweak the dialogue and kind of make it work for your kids and their personality or whatever. But the music is what I listen to first. And if it's that relevant, fun thing. So the kids will always, there's always like one or two songs that they really love because they're like really loud and upbeat and out there, and they really get into it. And then it's surprising, the ones that are like slower, more worshipful songs, you'll just be in a normal Wednesday night or whatever, whenever you do it, practice, and you'll see that they're like getting into it and really learning worship, and it's kind of a really cool thing. So if the music is good, then they're going to really enjoy it. So always start there if that's going to, you know, work for you, and then you can kind of tweak the dialogue if you need to along the way. But I feel like she does a really good job with this. The storyline always captivates the kids, and they kind of get into that too, the characters and all that stuff too. So it's really fun. So I highly recommend Christy Simpson. She writes the musicals, and then her husband Daniel orchestrates all of the music. So a very talented family. The next part of that, well, I want to mention before I move on, I'm sorry. If I can go back. So there are other resources. I mentioned Word Music. So other resources there. If you want to kind of explore other authors, certainly do that. There are, you know, other kids choir authors. So Word Music does a great job with kind of putting a lot of those on there. Of course, Lifeway and Alfred, there are other resources. So kind of research those and what works for your church. I will just mention briefly, just as a side note, there was one musical that I was just going to, I had another sample of someone else, and I don't remember who the author was or what the title of the song or play was, but I just was listening to it. It was a non-seasonal musical, and it was a really cute musical, and it was kind of the foundation of these kids that all were friends at a Christian school, and then they went together to this camp or whatever. That was kind of the storyline. And as I was listening to it, everything about it was really cute, except I didn't feel like it was relevant for our kids because I feel like I think like 99% of them go to a public school, which is fine, but I just didn't feel like it would work for our church. Does that make sense? So that's one of those things that you have to listen to what works for you and what your kids would relate with. Because I didn't want it to be like, well, you have to go to a Christian school, you know? Like my kids do, and I think we're probably the one of the few. You know, most of them go to a public school. So anyway, that was just one of those things that kind of stuck out to me. Like, well, that it's a cute musical, but it just, I don't think it would fit for us. So anyway, kind of listen to those authors. You'll find those that you really like. The next part of it is budgeting for kids choir. If you are going to be successful at a production, especially, you have to spend the money on it for sure. So knowing your cost ahead of time is very important. So it does matter, like what types of how big your choir is, and then what, you know, is that you're purchasing from it. But just kind of roundabout way, I would say $300 to $400 in music alone. So when I say that, kind of breaking it down, it depends on which musical you choose. But you're going to start with, once you purchase the demos. So you're going to purchase first. This is where I always start after I kind of know which one I'm going to do. They have sample listenings online so you can kind of get an idea. And then I purchase the practice DVDs or downloadable tracks. So they have at Christy Simpson Music, and I'm sure other musicals do this as well, give you all of the motions and everything you need to do. So all of kids' music have motions to them, and so she does all of that for you, which is so nice. So you're learning from her, you know, which is really great. So that's where you're going to start, those practice DVDs. And then they have the options for either downloadable, or you could purchase practice CDs for your kids to hand out, take home. So those are costs. That is cost based on how many you purchase. So I want to take a second just to drive the importance home of not just making copies of those things, but purchasing what you need for it. Because that's number one, how they make their money, but then also, you know, copyright laws and that sort of thing. So we try to adhere to that. So if I need, you know, I've got 30 kids in choir, then I'm going to pay for 30 listening tracks, you know, not just make the copies of those. So that just depends on if you've got 10 kids or you've got 30 kids or you've got 50 kids, whatever. And then as you get a little closer to that is purchasing your accompaniment tracks. So I mentioned the split tracks. I think that's very important. So your accompaniment tracks, and then it leaves off solos so you can plug those in. It's got underscore music so that when you're in your scenes and different parts of that, you can, you know, has this cool music depending on which production you're doing. And then they also have the option, which we've done it both ways, but an accompaniment DVD. So when you've got like this screen of like, you know, different motions, you know, it'll have the words on the screen, but then it also has different background displays and stuff that just kind of helps. Depends on what your set is, you know, what your goal is. So that one's a little more. That's usually like $200. The split track is usually like $100. So those are a little more costly in that. So knowing what those types of things are. And then you'll have to factor in cost, of course, for set and costuming, which we'll talk more about in a minute. And that, again, depends on what resources you have at your church. You know, if you have lots of costume and set design and all of that already that you can pull from, or, you know, you kind of have to start from scratch, kind of budgeting that in as well. Okay, so the next one is deciding when you're going to have kids choir. A couple of you mentioned, Miss Linda, you mentioned like Wednesday night programming that you guys do. This is like a really big part of it. You will always, and I have found this at our church, that you're always competing with extracurricular activities. So if you're in kids ministry, you know that to be true. And it's just the way that it is. And so there's not going to be like the perfect time. But if you do Wednesday nights, some people do Sunday nights. We've done it both ways too. We have found that Wednesday nights work for us. And we couple it with other things. So it's not just kids choir, although we've done it like that too. it's not just kids choir currently. We have other Wednesday night programming. So we do from 6 to 7:30. So an hour and a half of kids choir is too long because it doesn't hold their attention for that long. We run our ages from kindergarten to fifth grade just because that's the way we do our kids church. So all of them are in together, kindergarten through fifth grade. Kids choir all together. And then we have preschool choir, which is 3 to 5. So if they haven't started kindergarten, 3 to 5, they're in preschool choir. So they're in a separate space. And then we currently, just as a side note there, we use the D6 curriculum. So we have kids choir for 30, 40 minutes. Then we do a snack, game, you know, kind of take a break. And then we have, you know, our other curriculum. So it just kind of depends on how you want to do. We've done Awana. We've done other types of things. So, but to keep in mind, for kids choir's sake, is running it 30, 40 minutes and keeping it moving pretty quickly. Like having a plan going into rehearsal, keeping it moving pretty quickly to keep it fresh and fun. Even like one song to the next that like they don't really know this one really good, but I'm moving on to the next one. And then before you know it, they know all of them and they get it, you know, pretty quickly. But just to kind of keep the night rolling, practicing solos, you know, when you get to their part, kind of let them, you know, do that. We'll talk more about that in a second. But knowing when kids choir, when we're going to run our programming is important. Stay consistent with it, because that's the key to it too. Instead of, oh, I know I'm going to have, you know, 5 kids out or whatever, just stay with it. Just keep going. You know, because we've been through that too, like post-COVID, you know, there would be several out for sickness or whatever, like we're just still going, you know. And then it keeps that time there consistent. A big help, oh, well, I mentioned how to run kids choir already. Okay. So a big help is to add your rehearsals and dates to the calendar. So especially if you're going to do a production. So we have done a Christmas production and a spring production every year. So we run kids choir from kind of the whole school year, and then we take summers off. It gives you a start and a stop. And that I feel like that helps parents too. Like we've committed through December, you know, to do the Christmas program. And then I don't think we can do it in the spring, you know, and that's okay. It kind of gives you that end date or whatever. So if I know that, you know, our Christmas production is Sunday, December 7th or whatever, then I'm going to create a whole calendar of rehearsals. Because if you're going to do a production, then you're going to have extra practices. It's just the way it is, you know. And so I like to put those dates on the calendar so that everyone knows then what's ahead. Because again, competing with extracurriculars or whatever, but they know their speaking part rehearsal every Sunday afternoon, or, you know, we've got this dress rehearsal the Saturday before or whatever. It's kind of, this is what it is and it's expected. So then it could be, and I've had this before, you know, parents say, well, they can't be a lead role because we have too much happening, and that's fine. Then I know how to assign, you know, parts if they can commit to those rehearsals or whatever. So I think that's really important in that. Okay, I also, just as a side note, I create like a Facebook group for those speaking role parents. You know, after I've decided who's got these particular parts and solos or whatever, so that they know, I'm kind of constantly reminding those. So when I do you know, extra rehearsals for those speaking parts, then I will even, you know, bring in like main roles first and then smaller roles like a few weeks later or whatever, so that, you know, those main ones are always there kind of practicing. You can bring them on the stage when nobody else is there and kind of work on your blocking. And then it helps lessen the chaos when all the kids are on stage, you know, later, so that it's, you know, the main roles kind of know where to go and what to do, and then your, you know, main choir kind of fills in there. So next one, choosing speaking parts and solos. So make sure you know what you're doing, and like I did that first time. you know, but then it's still that, you know, they're kids, and so whatever they do is going to be cute and Their mom is going to love it, so it doesn't really matter, you know. I always tell my volunteers, if I've done everything to help them be successful, then I can't worry about anything else. Like, you know, if the song wasn't exactly right or the speaking role wasn't that great or, you know, whatever. But I've done everything I can to make them be successful. I've prepped them. They know their lines. They know their parts, all of those things, so that, because if they have a bad experience on stage, then they're probably not going to come back. You know, so I do everything I can to set them up for success so that they feel good on stage. And then moms and grandmas love whatever they do. It doesn't matter. So choosing those speaking roles and solos. And we've done this many ways, too. As our kids' choir started to grow, because our kids really enjoyed it, they started inviting their friends from school and, you know, neighborhoods or whatever. And so I didn't know all of those kids. So eventually we got to the point where we started doing auditions, and it just helped me know what kids could do. Like, I didn't know she could sing like that, you know? And so then we were able to kind of plug them in different roles that way. But if it's just your few that you know, then, you know, plug them in where you want to. Okay, so the next one, designing set and costuming. So it's really great if you have volunteers that know how to do this. This is not my area of expertise at all. So I can run kids' choir, I can rehearse them, get them ready, do everything except the staging. And so thankfully I've been very blessed with volunteers that are good at this. However, I do have a part in it, because I feel like it's just part of overseeing it. Like, let's sit down together at the beginning of the semester. I don't wait. Like, let's sit at the beginning of the semester. What do we want? You know, what do we want to see from it? Whatever. Kind of create a timeline when we're going to get it done. We create work days. We invite people to come help us work, you know. Start working on the set and that sort of thing. And then I like to, especially of a Christmas production, because the season is so busy, I like to have the majority of that stuff done before Thanksgiving. That's just a little tip that I have found that works. So that when you come back from your Thanksgiving break, you're not like, you know, anyway. It's a little crazy. So if you have that big stuff done, then that really helps in that. So find those creative people in your church that maybe they're not like even helping with kids at all, and they don't want to help with kids, you know, that's okay. But if they're willing to come other days with you and work on set, put them to work. You know, that's a great place for them. Maybe they're feeling like, you know, I don't really have a place to serve in the church, but this would be a great place for them. So here's some pictures of just some ones that we have done, just so you can kind of get an idea. I want you to keep in mind, you can go as big or as small as you want. We typically go a little big sometimes. Some of these kids are now in youth group, which is kind of funny to see them little. But so you'll see this was a Christmas production. See our little stable in the back. And this particular song that they're doing is called The Barnyard Boogie. And it was really cute. So, you know, those Christmas musicals have a different take from a different perspective. It can be from the innkeeper's perspective or the shepherds or the angels, or there's a new one out called Star Stomp, and it's from the star's perspective. Always the story of Jesus. But this one was the one from the animals in the stable, their perspective of Jesus's birth. So that was really cute. This was a non-seasonal musical that we did. So we've done it. You'll see back at this one, we had everyone in costume. So we've done it both ways here too, where everyone is in costume. And then sometimes we have done it where we just get like a t-shirt design, you know, that they have, you know, the basic one, and then we kind of fill in with their particular role. This was called The Star Factor, and it was you know, a non-seasonal kind of they go to this music camp and they get to perform their, you know, different talents. Anyway, that was a really fun one. This one was really fun. This was called Danny and the Shacks. Again, these are all Christy Simpson musicals. Danny and the Shacks was super fun. Anyway, so we had different color t-shirts there, and then they were all, you know, Babylonians. And this one, I just went blank on the name of this one. Aiden? I forgot the name of this one, but anyway, this was really fun. It was kind of this galaxy kind of thing. So we have black curtains. You'll see it where those stars and other things are up there. So we always will kind of hang some black curtains that then are the divider from the stage. So it kind of sets everything apart. So we clear off, like, you know, music instruments and stuff. But then if you've got your kind of black curtain, and then we base everything around that. But again, you can do it kind of however you want there. Here's our lions from Danny and the Shacks, our ferocious lions. Okay, so I want to mention that next point is to start small. So I showed you just a few pictures of some things that we have done and that works for us. But we've seen it in a couple different ways. For instance, I mentioned earlier my kids go to a Christian school in Broken Arrow. And there were a few years when they were younger that they were working on the same Christmas production that we were. And because it was a different dynamic with their school, they had more kids to work with, and then they had, you know, high school choirs coming in. It was a different thing for their Christmas production, that their music teacher did it much different, would have a completely different approach than we would at church, and it'd be the same musical. And she would have all the kids on stage, this really big stage, and then just dressed like in dressy clothes, like whatever. And then, you know, if they were a shepherd or whatever, then they were in costume and very minimal props, like no staging at all. So don't feel like, and it was great, you know, like we would go in and be like, well, that was really good. It was a really good take on how they did it. It was fantastic. And so it's not necessarily that you have to have all the staging and props. Maybe it's not in your budget. Maybe you don't feel like you have the volunteer base or the time for it. You can go as big or as small as you want. And if it's something you're thinking about doing, I do recommend starting small and then kind of growing with it from there. So I think that's really important, using the resources that you have. So maybe you have a costume closet. You know, we all have storage closets at church, right? So look in those costume closets, see what you have. Maybe that determines what type of musical you do. If I've got tons of angel and shepherds and whatever, then pick a musical that, you know, kind of caters to that. That's completely fine. Use the kids you have. So I think this is important too, not feeling like, well, I don't have 30 kids, so I can't have a choir. Use what you have, start with it, invest in them. I promise if they really enjoy it, they're gonna invite their friends. It's kind of been a really weird or amazing thing how it kind of happened with our kids' choir. It was one of those things really that when we first started, it was, well, the fifth grade boys won't like that. Well, yeah, there are some that don't, you know what I mean, because they don't like to sing or they, whatever. You know, or it doesn't cater like to everybody. But when we made it fun and energetic and made it a big thing for the kids, then they started really liking it. And then they also started talking about, like, in Sunday school, well, you should come to kids choir, you know. And then someone else would come, you know, or start it. Parents would start asking me about it. Yeah, it's not too late. Join us, you know, whatever. And then, you know, a little while into it, not too far into it, started seeing kids inviting school friends, neighborhood friends, all of those. And so it really just started to grow from there, that we had a lot of kids that were not our regular church kids. And so I think that when you're thinking about like a kids ministry, that's what you want, right? You know, is those kids coming in that don't have a church home. A lot of them would go somewhere else like a Sunday morning, but not really plugged into their churches. And so then when you do that production, you have them, their parents, their grandparents, their teachers, you know, all those people that they've invited, you have them on your campus. And then you never know what would come from that. So I encourage you to start small. Communicate with parents. Again, I can't stress this enough. If they know what's coming, what rehearsals, you know, what dates they need to put on the calendar, that's really, really important. Communicate with them very early on so that they know what's happening. Promote to the whole church so that they know what's happening. You know, not just like, oh yeah, our kids are going to sing on this Sunday morning. That's the other thing, is deciding when your kids are going to do this production. Is it a Sunday morning thing? Is it a Sunday night thing? For a long time, when we were doing our big productions, we would do them on Sunday night. It would just be a Sunday night production. We would do, like, you know, cookies and hot chocolate or whatever at the end. We've done that many different ways or whatever. We have done it on a Sunday morning. We've explored all options, you know, in that. So do what works for you and your church on that, using the resources that you have, again, with set, costume, whatever. Use those resources that you have and be consistent. That one is really key, being consistent. Is know that I'm just going to go and I'm going to do it regardless, and then you watch it grow, which is really cool. So I have a quick story to tell you, and if you have time, maybe you have some questions for me. So when I say start small, we kind of did it in reverse order. So we just went in with two productions a year, which I don't know if that's smart or crazy, but anyway, so when we started, we were like, well, we'll do a Christmas one. Well, you know, you got to have kids choir and starting in January, so we might as well work on a non-seasonal for May. We do it April, May every year. So we just started big, you know, with two big productions a year. And we did that all along up until March of 20. And so just, of course, like everything else, we were getting really close to our spring production. And in fact, I recently went up to our costume closet and saw, like, still costumes pulled and labeled for the ones that we were going to do that spring, you know, but then obviously we didn't get to do it. And so then that whole next school year, we didn't do any kids choir, you know, COVID was still doing its thing. So we didn't do that at all. And then last school year, so fall of 21, we decided to add it back in. But for a few reasons, we didn't want to jump in as big as we had done before. So we kind of backed up a little bit and decided that with our Wednesday night programming, we would do like some kids' songs or whatever and do a smaller presentation on a Sunday morning. So what I did, because we didn't know what COVID was going to do, we didn't know how many kids would return. And I guess it was that fear, maybe I wouldn't have enough to do a big production. We didn't want kids to get sick along the way, like a lead role, and then we couldn't do it. Like all those things, like what ifs, you know? So we just decided to do things a little bit differently. And so what I did, I pulled a few songs from a production that I liked that if the song alone made sense. So some of the songs you'll find like only make sense within this production, you know? And that's, you know, cute or whatever. But then there's other songs that, like, can be sung anywhere, anytime. So I would kind of find those songs, Christmas-related. And then I just kind of pulled in some narration and some scripture and, you know, put a little cantata-type thing together, you know. So it was like 20, 25 minutes is all it was. And we did it on a Sunday morning in December. And honestly, I mean, it was a lot less stressful, for sure. But I wasn't really sure how it was going to go because it's not what I was used to, you know. It was used to these big productions that we did. We still had, you know, we had quite a few kids that came and seemed to enjoy it, but I still just wasn't sure how it was going to go. So that Sunday morning, we did our thing on stage, and I was amazed at how many people we had. Because, again, it doesn't matter what they were doing on stage. It was moms and grandmas and grandpas and all coming to watch their kids, which then our pastor was able to get up after and he spoke for a little while, kind of filled in our, you know, time or whatever. And, you know, you had those people on campus that wouldn't have ordinarily come. This past VBS, well, then we did it again for January because then, like I mentioned earlier, I've kind of taken on a different role in kids ministry, so I can't do a production currently while I'm running the whole kids ministry right now. So we just kind of did the same thing and it worked well again in the spring. So I'm not exactly sure what it's going to look like for us this fall, but you know, any sort of thing like that where they enjoy coming is going to get them in the door. And so that's what matters. So it doesn't have to be this huge, you know, production, just kind of starting with them. we did a VBS this last month, and I saw a girl that had been in our kids' choir before COVID, and I hadn't seen her in a while. Their family doesn't normally come to our church, but she was now in youth group, and she wanted to come and volunteer for VBS. So she came, but knew us all from kids' choir. That had been their experience with our church, and that was it. And then since then, she's done some things with our youth group, and I've encouraged her mom to come back, you know, on Sundays. And so anyway, it's just kind of this has turned into this outreach that we have been able to do in our community. So I just want to encourage you to think about that and know that it can be hard and frustrating at times, but it's totally worth it. And I highly recommend in any sort of capacity, whatever would work for you.